Hey, good evening once again. Nice singing we had. The portion today that we are going to cover is from the book of Proverbs. The topic is Wise Up. Before that, let's give the time to God in prayer. Let us bow down. Our Heavenly Father, we once again thank you and praise you, Lord, for this time that we could come and sing your praises. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you have given to us to be your children. Lord, as we are here this evening, Lord, in this quietness of the hour, Lord, we seek your blessings upon this meeting. Lord, we seek your continued guidance. Lord, help me to tell what you want to tell to the audience. Lord, we are living in a world that is full of sin and suffering. Lord, help us to live wisely and for your own glory, Lord. Lord, we commit this time to you. Be with us and teach us the way that we should walk, Lord. We ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, the portion is Proverbs chapter 1 from 1 to 19. The first chapter, verses 1 to 19. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and bowl like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. He takes away the life of its owners. We can separate this portion into four sections. The first one is verses 1 to 6, which is the prologue to Proverbs. Second portion is from verse 7, which is the promise in the fear of the Lord. The third section is parental advice, which is verses 8 and 9. And the last section is perils of evil friendship, which is found in verses 10 to 19. So let's see the first part, which is the prologue to Proverbs, or the introduction. Proverbs, actually, one Bible commentator said, the book of Proverbs is the heavenly laws or rules for the earthly living. It's the God's book on how to wise up and live. Basically, it's a book of how to behave, how to answer, how to live, and it's a book of how to. So there are mainly talks about wisdom. There is a great need of this particular quality, wisdom, these days. For the lack of wisdom, there are many families shattered, the friendship lost, and the lives are shattered, and the lost souls, they end up in eternal condemnation for the lack of this particular quality, which is wisdom. Secondly, we see the walk of Christian is to be with wisdom as we go through life. We see this in Ephesians chapter 5, 15 to 17. Because time is fleeting and the days are evil, we are advised to make the best use of our time. So too many today, nowadays, are wasting their life and energy and by failing to exercise the wisdom in their lives. But the word of God equips men unto to do every good work. We see that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This book basically gives advices for us to live our day-to-day life. Jews, generally, they classify the Old Testament into three parts, law, prophets, and the writings. The writings are generally known as wisdom literature. In the Old Testament, five books, basically, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon, they are known as wisdom literature. So the three out of the five books were written by Solomon. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and James 3, they are also classified in the same category. In summary, Proverbs is God's book on how to wise up and live. So let's see verse by verse. Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So this book and chapter begins with the author, who is Solomon, son of David, and king of Israel, as we see it's written here. And he was granted great wisdom by God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 7 to 12, we see that place where God gives him wisdom. God asks him what he wants, and he says, "Lord God, I want wisdom to lead the people." He did not ask for riches, he did not ask for silver and gold, he did not ask for glory, but he asked for wisdom. And God was well pleased with him, and he gave him the wisdom. And he said, "No one is going to be wiser than you." He was a very wise man. And God not only gave him wisdom, along with that, he also gave whatever he did not ask for, riches, glory, silver and gold, all his servants and everything. So God was answering him and giving him exceedingly abundantly more than what he asked for. So he became a famous wise man of his time, and he wrote a lot of proverbs. 3,000 proverbs he wrote. And Ezekiah's men later came, and then they compiled the proverbs. So the book also contains proverbs from other authors, like the chapter 30 was written by Agur, the son of Jake, and also the next chapter 31, it was the words of King Lemuel and taught by his mother. So these two chapters were written by other authors, but in spite of that, whether it's Solomon or somebody else wrote, basically it was God who wrote those scriptures, because we believe every scripture is God-breathed by the Spirit of God, who inspired men to write these things, and then that's how we got the Bible in our hands. So that's an introduction, and we see the meaning of proverb. In Hebrew, the word mashal is used to explain a proverb or a parable, a comparison, or sentences of ethical wisdom. Basically, they are rules, principles, or advices, things which should not be taken lightly. It's a short sentences of a long experience, short sayings which express timeless truths and wisdom. Very easy to remember. It's an accumulation of condensed wisdom in small space. Basically, the intended audience is young people. Son, my son, these kind of words come many times. Even though it is written primarily for young people, anyone who reads the Proverbs will be richly benefited by the content. Wisdom is the general theme of this book. It comes 45 times in the book of Proverbs. Now let us see the purpose of the book of Proverbs. First, to know wisdom, perceive words of understanding. Basically, verse 2 to 6 gives the purpose of the book. Verse 2 says, to know wisdom, perceive words of understanding. Then in verse 3, we see, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And verse 4, we see, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge, and discern discretion. And verse 5, we read, to increase learning for a wise man, to give counsel to a man of understanding. And in verse 6, we read, to understand proverbs and enigmas, the words of wise and their riddles. So what is wisdom? So let us see the meaning of wisdom. Traditional interpretation of wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge in a right way. But the biblical interpretation is slightly different. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God and He is our wisdom. Knowledge is acquisition of information and wisdom is application of that knowledge in a rightful way at the right time. So to illustrate, how wisely we behave or how wisely we react. For example, somebody yells at us, shouts at us. So there are three reactions. One is strike back physically or verbally. Our second reaction is do nothing. Or the third one is react with a soft and a kind reply. So these three reactions are there. So the way they people behave or react shows their wisdom. So if they do the first thing, say strike back physically or verbally, we know what will happen. So there is wisdom is required in those places on how we react. So one of the commentators said that wisdom is the divine science by which men are enabled to discern their best end and to know how to pursue it by the most proper means. In simple words, wisdom is the insight which helps you to decide what is the best thing to do at any given situation. So there may be several reactions. Which is the best thing to do is wisdom, basically. So verse 2 to 6, the twofold purpose of the book is explained, to produce the skill of godly living by wisdom and instruction, and which then is expanded in verse 3 and 4, and then develop discernment. The second part of verse 2 is expanded in verse 5. Some commentators interpret that this portion basically it gives the full introduction of the book. So in this portion, verses 2 to 6, there are several words which are not exactly synonymous to wisdom, but they are all related to wisdom. Let us look one by one. So verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. We saw what was wisdom already. Instruction is found in verse 2. And also this word appears 26 times in Proverbs. The same Hebrew word is translated as chastening. Or the simple meaning of it is, in this context, it is discipline. This particular wisdom is lacking in many families, which causes the entire generation to go bad. Parents disobeying God's warning of how to bring up their children. They do not do that. This particular wisdom is lacking in their life. They don't teach the young children. Instead of bringing up good children, they are in fact rearing an animal instead of men and women. But at the end of the day, what happens? Because they don't discipline their children, they become haters and even killers and murderers later on. So this is a very sad state of affairs that is happening. So instruction is very important. And understanding also is important. Understanding means the ability to distinguish between what is good and bad, and also what is truth and false. Verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Prudence to the simple. Prudence is basically a quality of wisdom that takes into account the future consequences of one's behavior. Other meanings are foresight or forethought. We can also give those meanings to that. Here we see simple. The simple is not a straightforward or a simple man. It basically means a sinner. So the verse is prudence to the sinner. And we also see knowledge. It talks about knowledge. Knowledge is also, it primarily means information of any kind, but in Proverbs, the knowledge is advocated is beneficial, especially as it relates to the desirable relationship one has with the Creator and with his fellow human beings. Next word that we see is discretion. This is a quality of wisdom again that has respect for what is desirable and appropriate. Especially it regards the feelings and circumstances of others who may see our actions or hear our words. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Here we see a wise man will hear and he will increase learning. Those who will hear, those who will obey, will increase their learning. Here learning basically simply means the ability to execute, practice or apply the information that he gets. So one may have a theoretical knowledge. He may be getting so much of information inside about say a sport or a say basketball or football, whatever it is. He may have all the rules, everything, but unless he plays and practices, he can't be a good player. So learning makes him a good, practice makes him a good player. So the very word we see here, like here, it's related to the obedience. So those who hear or those who obey, they will increase the learning. And also we see another word, which is sound counsels. So any attorney will admit there is no knowledge as important as the knowledge of where to find it. The true wisdom lies in recognition of Him who alone is the counselor, our mighty God and everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, even the Blessed Savior Himself. So the Bible is the place of sound counsels. And especially this book, Proverbs, it gives a lot of good counsels. Verse 6, let us move on to verse 6. To understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their riddles. So understanding is basically it's a common sense. Common sense is a dominant ingredient of the true wisdom. See, all these words, basically they are all related to wisdom. Even though they are not synonymous to wisdom, but they are related to wisdom. And basically we will find incredibly large number of this very thing in Proverbs, that is common sense. Second section is promise in the fear of the Lord. This is the key word of this book, verse 7, which reads, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. One commentator stated it, no man can ever become truly wise who does not begin with God, the fountain of wisdom. And he whose mind is influenced by the fear and love of God will learn everything in a month what others will learn in a year. So the fear of Jehovah, this is not a reference to object craven fear or terror, but to the awesome respect and honor and regard to God and His will. So this will automatically come to your mind, which recognizes the omnipotence of God, almighty nature of God, and His power and His glory. So this expression also is found many times in Proverbs, the fear of Jehovah. So other scriptures where we find similar thoughts are in Isaiah chapter 11, 2 and 3, Psalms chapter 2, verse 11, Job 28:28, and Proverbs 8:13. All these places this talks about the fear of the Lord. So the term Fear is a common word for fear in the Old Testament and has basically three meanings. One is dread, dreadful or terror, as we see in Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 29 or Jonah chapter 1 and verse 10, or to stand in awe and respect in reference to admiring a king and his wisdom. And the third one is to revere or to respect in regards to parents, which is found in Leviticus chapter 19. So three basic meanings for this fear. One is dreadful or terror. Second one is to stand in awe. The third one is to revere and to respect. So when God descended upon the Mount Sinai, there was a lot of geophysical convulsions, like there was lightning, thunder, and the earth was shaking, and people were terrified. And Moses had to calm them down, saying, "Fear not, don't be afraid of God arbitrarily striking you guys for no reason." And he informed them that the Lord revealed himself in such terrifying manner just to show you and scare them from sinning. God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you so that you may not sin. So this is the fear that we see here. But in the New Testament, Christian believers are also encouraged to exercise this fear. But this fear is out of reverence, out of respect, and out of love. We should fear God, not man. We see that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And the early church walked in the fear of the Lord. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. We are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That is found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. We should be fearful of apostasy, serving God with godly fear. That is found in Hebrews. So the fear of the Lord is expressed in reverential submission to his will. So it's not a terror because he is God who is dreadful or terror, not because of that, but because he is so loving, his almighty nature, his power, his omnipotence. Due to the respect and love, we should fear him. So that's the meaning here. So we see seven benefits of the fear of the Lord explained in Proverbs. Already we saw one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what we saw in verse 7. The other six benefits are, it will cause one to hate evil. In chapter 8, verse 13, we see this. It will prolong life. If one wants a long life, then that person should fear the Lord. Proverbs 10:27. It provides strong confidence and is the fountain of life. That is found in chapter 14, verses 26. It prompts one to depart from evil. If you want to stay away from evil, then the fear of the Lord will help you to stay away from evil. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. It leads to a satisfying life and spares one from much evil. That is found in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. And it's the way to riches, honor, and life. So if anyone wants riches, honor, and life, then the fear of Lord will help him to attain that. Proverbs chapter 22, we see this one. Now we move on to the third section, which is the parental advice. So the advice is, listen to them. Especially it was given to young people. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. So the wisdom of listening to our parents. The two people in the world who would want the best of everything will be our parents, father and mother. So in any family, God wants a father and a mother. But nowadays, especially in the Western world, we see a lot of broken families and single parent families, and seeing a godly father and mother is a rare thing these days. But God wants the family to have father and mother who are godly also, who can give instruction to their children to bring them and nurture them in the knowledge of the Lord and His ways. And that's God's plans right from beginning, to have children who are God-fearing and those who are walking in the ways of the Lord. So listen to the instruction of your father and the teachings of your mother. So that's the instruction given here. So let's look at each of these. So we can rely on them for three things. One is their knowledge. Second thing is their experience. Third thing is their wisdom. So our parents know us better than anyone else. So they fed us, they clothed us, they took care of us. In all the days of our life, they were with us, always holding us, especially when we were young. They were holding our hands and then they were taking care of us. So they saw us grow. They saw our weaknesses, our strengths, and they encouraged us all the way. So they know us personally. So parents have the potential to provide better advice than anyone else. So for example, counselor or teachers, they see us only a little while, a few hours maybe in a day. But parents are always with us. So they have better knowledge and they can give us better advice. So no one has the better opportunity to know what we need than our parents. We may pay a teacher to educate, a psychologist to counsel us, and a coach to discipline us, or a preacher to instill values to us. But all these things are the responsibility still remains with the parents. Next, we'll see their experience. They have been where we are because they have gone through the phases in their lives. So they know what we are facing, so they can give better advice. So their experience comes in there. And also, they are now where we want to be if we live that long. So children with parents are blessed to have advice from those who travel the same road, only much further. Third thing, we see their wisdom. So their own experience provides one source of wisdom. So through their experience, they learn so many things and then they can advise us of their experience. So it's a source of wisdom there. So their wisdom often includes not only their experience, but also their parents' experience. So a grandparents' experience also is passed on to us. The famous people like George Washington, he said, "The greatest teacher I ever had was my mother." Similarly, Abraham Lincoln, he also said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." So they all gave credit to their mother for bringing them up, and they thanked them a lot. So their wisdom, parents' wisdom, may also include the wisdom of God if they are Christian parents. So children with Christian parents are really blessed with wisdom from many sources. So next we see the verse 9, "For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." So the beauty of listening to our parents. Our parents' instructions add beauty to our life. Graceful garland of honor. So the pendant on or chain about our necks also is representing beauty. And also it brings great delight to the children. So children who revere their parents by heeding to their counsel are made more attractive and appealing to others by such counsel. So on the contrary, children who do not listen to their parents were harshly judged by God in the Old Testament times also. So some of the young people may not have both the parents. They are raised with one parent, and absolutely it's not their mistake. But even for them, there is a hope. We see Psalm 68:5, which says, "Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation." This morning also we saw about that. God can supply what you are missing in your home. Probably you may miss a mother or a father, but God is our father, our mother. He replaces, or he comes in and helps us to fill that void. The fourth section is perils of friendship. So the instruction given to us is beware of them. Be watchful of them, That is the instruction given to us. Let us read the verses 10 to 19. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. So the instruction given to us is to be cautious about these kind of friends. First we saw the fear of the Lord and also the respect to parents and listening to the parents. Now we will consider our friendship. So parents generally work in protecting us every possible way, but there is danger from peers also. So they can be very destructive in someone's life many a times. So there is a fatherly warning concerning evil companions. We may think few bad friends will not cause any harm to us. So, but that is not correct, because one drop of poison in a glass of milk is a poison. Whether it's one drop or 10 drops, it's still a poison. So these kind of bad friends will definitely cause danger in our lives. We see in Ecclesiastes 10 verse 1, dead flies cause the ointment to stink. So any bad friends in our lives will definitely have bad influence in our lives. So we should shun that. We should be away from that bad friendship. So here we see they always entice us with their words. The sad part is when anyone sins, they want company. They don't want to do all alone. They want the company. We read in verse 11, if they say, come with us. So in a gang or with a company only, they want to go and do all sorts of bad things. So when they entice them, entice one, we should avoid them. So the loving father, in teaching his son, says, son, learn to say no to your friends. So he asks us to stand alone. So we'll see the dangers of evil companions. Basically, they persuade through enticement, like the serpent tempted Eve in the garden. Three things we see there: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All three things work there when Satan tempted Eve. When Eve, we see it in Genesis chapter 3 verse 6, she saw it was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and desirable to make one wise. The same thing happens when this bad company comes and entices one. Evil friends will offer easy gain, such as wealth without work, such as pleasure without commitment, such as companionship without cost. It sounds so good and easy. And second thing is, first thing, they persuade through enticement. Second, they ignore the cost of sin. That sin destroys those who possess it. The so-called friends will eventually turn on one another. So if they will sin with you, what's the guarantee that they will not sin against you? So they will definitely turn against one another, and then they will cause chaos. So they will be friends as long as they find you beneficial. The moment they see you're not benefiting them, then they will turn against you. Many gang wars, no, we see that. If a person is becoming useless or not beneficial to them, they will kill him, because he knows all the secrets. So they will finish him off. So that's a danger there. So because of this bad company, a lot of bad things also happen, like addiction, diseases, and unwanted pregnancy. And evil companions never talk about the cost of sin. Yeah. The solution to the evil companions is, do not consent to their counsel. That's what we read in verse 10. A father's advice is, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Especially when they seek to entice you to do evil. So when they tempt you with promises of easy gain, again, don't listen to them. Second advice is, do not walk with them. Keep away from such friends who are quick to do evil. In chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, we read that one. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to do evil, and they make haste to shed blood. So the directly confronts the invitation in verse 11. Verse 11 say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. But here, the instruction given is directly confronting the invitation that is in verse 11. So sin must be rejected at the first temptation. So it reminds me of a funny story. You might have heard about this. It's about a traveler and a camel in the desert. When a traveler travels, he travels on a camel back. So all through the day, the camel is carrying him. And then when the night comes, especially in desert places, no, it will be very cold during the night. So the guy puts a tent and then he sleeps nice in a warm, cozy under the quilt. No, he's sleeping nicely, but the poor camel is standing outside. And it's a story. Don't ask me how the camel talked to him. After some time, the camel talked to the traveler and said, sir, whole day in the hot sun I carried you. I struggled so much. But now in the night it is so freezing outside. Now you are sleeping nicely, but I am suffering outside. Shall I put my nose inside the tent? Then the traveler took pity on the camel and said, okay, you keep your nose inside. Then the camel kept the nose inside, and then after some time, again, it woke the traveler and said, now my nose is warm, but my head is still freezing cold. Let me put my head also inside. So that guy was sleeping in the sleepy mood. No, he said, okay. Then it put the head inside. Slowly, one by one, no, then it asked for the front legs, then its body, and the back legs. Finally, it kicked the man outside and then it went inside the tent and it was happy there. So it's a funny story just to explain how sin can enter in our lives. The very first temptation, if we reject and refuse, we will be saved. Like the story, no? The camel came in and then pushed this man outside. Like that, many times happens. We give in for a small bad thought or unholy thoughts in our lives. That starts growing slowly. So the father's advice here is, sin must be rejected at the very first temptation. And verse 16, warning is not to keep evil company. There is a guilt by association also. Many a times when one person is caught, the entire network will be caught, because they will start tracking who called him and who he called. And slowly, one by one, people will be asked, investigated. So by association, even though somebody hasn't done any wrong thing, but by associating with the bad people, we also will land in trouble. So the instruction here is to keep away from all these evil people. Verse 17 and 18, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. He's saying even a bird is smarter than man in avoiding a trap, especially if he watches being set and baited. He says, be smarter than a bird. Instinct directs a bird. Reasoning directs people. Yet, such is the attractiveness of sin that man in his boasted wisdom will not do what a bird would normally do with his native instinct. It shuns the net spread before its eyes. It will never, especially if it watches a man setting a trap, it may not come and fall into that. But here we see these men are setting a trap for themselves. A person laying in wait to kill someone is actually sealing their own doom. We see a lot of examples in the Old Testament, especially we see Ahab and Jezebel in plotting the destruction of an innocent victim, Naboth. Poor guy. The only mistake was his plot was next to the palace. And he had a nice vineyard. This Jezebel, she wanted to make a garden of herbs. She could have taken the land from somewhere else, but she wanted the inheritance of Naboth. And they plotted to kill him. Because when he refused to give, they plotted to kill him. At the end, what happened? They themselves were killed. Similarly, Haman, he tried to destroy Mordecai, but at the end, he was killed. And also Judas, he was seeking a nice opportunity to betray his master, but at the end, he was digging his own pit. So the advice given is, don't be dumb enough to join them. Find good friends and don't make friendship with bad friends. So while making friendship, we should follow our Lord's example. Lord is called the friend of sinners, but at the same time, the sinners did not influence him. His presence influenced the sinners to become good. So like that, at the same time, the inner circle, the disciples who respected the Lord, revered him, they always sought God's purpose. So make sure our inner circle is composed of friends who will support our Christian walk. Make sure you influence all your friends, no matter how close, for good only. And resist friends who are always trying to get you to be rebellious. He then finally finishes this passage with this thought. If you are too anxious to win without paying the price, it takes part of you away. Verse 19 says, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which takes away the life of the owners thereof. If you want to cheat, you kill something inside. We have the conscience inside, God-given conscience. We kill that if we are cheating. Similarly, if you want to profit on the backs of others, something inside us dies. The integrity, the honesty, those things, they die. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gains. It takes away the life of its possessor. So what we studied in this portion, verses 10 to 19, is best summarized by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So to be wise, we must know whom to listen to and whom not to listen to. So this entire portion, talks about wisdom. To summarize, we saw about the introduction of Proverbs and the theme of Proverbs, which is the fear of the Lord. And we saw about the parental advice. And also we saw the perils of bad friendship. So we are again warned by all these things. By reading the Proverbs, we will get wisdom and counsel, good counsel, to walk in our Christian life. As we see in Revelation chapter 22, the Lord says, let the righteous be more righteous, let the filthy be more filthy. I am coming soon, and the rewards are with him. So our Lord is coming any moment. So we are expected to live a life that is pleasing to him. So let us study Proverbs, and in a day-to-day life, definitely it will help us to be more wise. It will give us counsel, because it's God's word. So definitely it will give us more wisdom to live in this world which is full of sin and corruption, and our God is coming soon. So let us think about these things. And one tip I read was, Proverbs has 31 chapters. So for a day, one chapter we can read. For example, today is day 9. We can read chapter 9. If it is day 11, we can read chapter 11. So that will give the counsel for that particular day. So irrespective of whether, I mean, we need not have to worry, have I finished this chapter or this chapter? You need not have to worry. On that particular day, read that particular chapter. So that will give counsel. That was a tip I got through reading. So let us read the words and be benefited by it. Let us close with a word of prayer. Almighty God and our loving Heavenly Father, we once again thank you and praise you, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to meditate upon your word. From the book of Proverbs, Lord, we learn many things. Lord, help us to take this and practice in our lives the wonderful instructions, and help us to be wise in the coming days, Lord. As your coming is drawing near, Lord, we commit each one of us. Lord, help us to be holy and more holy for your own glory, Lord. When we meet you, Lord, we would like to hear the praises from your word, your mouth, Lord. We thank and praise you. Lord, we thank and praise you for all those who have come here. Lord, thank you, Lord, for sending us with your blessing. As we disperse from this place, Lord, we seek your journey mercies upon us. Till we meet once again, Lord, we commit each one of us to your care and keeping. We ask all these things in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.